Good morning, and welcome to the Approval of Economic Program 2004 conference call. At this time, all participants have been placed on a listen-only mode, and the floor will be open for questions following the presentation. It is now my pleasure to introduce your host for today's call, Mr. Alonzo Garcia Temes, the Undersecretary of Finance and Public Credit. Sir, you may begin.
Thank you very much, good morning to you all, and welcome to Mexico's Ministry of Finance conference calls regarding the approval of the economic program for 2004. Today, together with me, are Alejandro Werner, who is the General Director of Macroeconomic Policy, and Andres Conesa, who is the General Director for Debt Policy. I would first, make some brief comments about the main macroeconomic and fiscal developments in the last quarter of 2003. Then I will talk about the economic outlook for 2004. After that, I will review the main fiscal issues regarding the economic program for 2004, which was approved by an ample majority vote in Congress last month, as well as the public debt strategy for the year. And finally, I will open the floor for questions. Let me start with the macroeconomic and fiscal developments in the fourth quarter of 2003. I would like to check, operator, if we are connected, because we are hearing strange noise.
Okay.
So I will start with the macro and fiscal developments in the fourth quarter of 2003. And I will first mention that the Mexican economy benefited from a rebound on the manufacturing activity in the U.S., a high international price of oil, and favorable capital market conditions in the fourth quarter of 2003. The manufacturing production in the U.S. increased significantly as the year ended, driven by a strong rebound in durable goods production. Within durable goods, manufacturing high-tech has been growing at the fastest pace. Motor vehicles and auto parts rebounded in September, but have fallen again in October and November. Non-oil Mexican exports have been expanding since August in seasonally adjusted terms, as manufacturing exports are beginning to be pulled by the increase in industrial activity in the U.S. Therefore, in the last quarter of 2003, external demand began to fuel economic growth, which had been dependent on domestic demand during most of 2003. Namely, private consumption and public investment had been the sources of aggregate demand growth during the first 9 months of the year. The rebalancing of growth in the fourth quarter is encouraging and has taken place at the same time that inflation continues to trend down towards the long-term target set by the central bank. The annual consumer price index inflation ended the year at 3.98%, which is 2 basis points below the upper band of Banco de Mexico's variability interval. Just to remind you, this is the target is 3% with a band of plus or minus 1% wider. As the economy sources of growth become more balanced, we have observed signs of a rebound in the formal employment and industrial activity. First, the urban permanent and temporary workers registered at the Mexican Institute for Social Security, which is our definition of non-farm payrolls, have increased in seasonally adjusted terms for 3 months in a row after posting 9 consecutive decreases from December 2002 to August 2003. Second, the industrial production posted a 1.2% monthly growth in seasonally adjusted terms in October. The rebound was mainly the result of an expansion of non-maquiladora manufacturing and construction. Maquiladora production still has not rebounded, but its seasonally adjusted nominal exports, which is a leading indicator of future production, have grown in the 3 out of the last 4 months. Fiscal prudence has been maintained in the year 2003. The public sector traditional overall balance in the first 11 months of 2003 has posted a surplus of almost 53 billion pesos. The primary surplus stands at 235 billion pesos after 11 months, which is an amount 20% higher than that which was observed in the same period of 2002. Total budgetary revenues have increased 12.1% in real terms with respect to the first 11 months of 2002. Oil-related revenues, defined as the sum of Pemex revenues, oil royalties and duties paid to the federal government, and excise taxes on gasoline and diesel, have increased 24% in real terms. Furthermore, non-oil-related tax revenues were 5.9% higher in real terms than those recorded during the first 11 months of 2002. It is worth highlighting that the 11.7% real increase in value-added tax collection. Net budgetary expenditures of the public sector during the first 11 months of 2003 were 9% higher in real terms to that carried out during the same period of 2002. Its main component, programmable expenditures, posted a real annual growth rate of 10.7%. Within these, capital expenditures increased 15.4% in real terms in the first 11 months of the year with respect to a year earlier. The fiscal balance for 2004 without the voluntary retirement program government employees is expected to boast to, The fiscal balance for 2003 without the voluntary retirement program for government employees is expected to post a deficit of 0.4% of GDP. It is important to mention that seasonality increases expenditures in December when the wage bill increases at the allocation of additional expenditure in line with the automatic stabilizers in the budget and on the oil stabilization fund have to be done. The public sector borrowing requirements for 2003 are estimated at 3% of GDP. Let me move now to the macroeconomic outlook for 2004. And I will start by mentioning that the economic program for 2004, which was approved by Congress, was approved without any modifications to the macroeconomic framework. And let me go over the main components. First, the fiscal deficit equivalent of 0.3% of GDP, a GDP growth of 3.1% for the year, an inflation rate at 3%, a current account deficit for at a 2.6% level, 2.6% of GDP, a U.S. GDP growth of 3.8% and manufacturing production growth of 4%, an average oil price for the Mexican crude oil mix of $20 per barrel, a reduction of the net external indebtedness of the public sector for $500 million. The external environment that the Mexican economy will face is favorable. First, I would mention that growth in the U.S. is expected to be more robust given the third quarter growth figures and the recent Industry of Supply Management business surveys. ISM manufacturing and non-manufacturing are both above 60 points, which are consistent with a more balanced growth of the U.S. economy. The medium-term sustainability of the expansion in the U.S. seems to be increasing as new orders trend up. Inventory ratios are low, initial jobless claims continue falling, and non-residential investment grows. Second, oil prices remain high, and the futures market are still signaling that fuel prices prevailing in 2004 will be positive for Mexican public finances. Third, the availability of foreign resources for emerging markets seems to be increasing as U.S. corporate and emerging markets bond spreads continue to tighten. This week, as you know, Mexico issued a floating rate 5-year global bond with a spread of 70 basis points over LIBOR, and the Mexican NB spread is close to its historic lows. In this context, the macroeconomic framework in the economic program for 2004 is prudent. Moving to the fiscal policy in 2004, and before discussing the details of the approval of the economic program for this year, I would like to comment that the lack of approval of the fiscal reform does not imply a risk for macroeconomic stability, as Mexico's fundamentals remain strong. However, I would have to say that the absence of the fiscal reform is indeed an opportunity lost. The economy would have benefited from an enhanced tax collection efficiency and a wider tax base. Such a reform would have fostered the potential growth of the economy and strengthen the domestic sources of growth. However, the economic program approved by Congress is both prudent and responsible. The fiscal deficit and the public sector borrowing requirements for 2004 will be equivalent to 0.3 and 2.7% of GDP, respectively. The fiscal deficit target for of 24.1 billion pesos was not modified in the approval process. Furthermore, Congress authorized a reduction of the net external indebtedness of the public sector for $500 million. This net external indebtedness reduction implies that the fiscal deficit will be entirely financed in the domestic financial markets for the fourth year in a row. Congress modified some of the revenue estimations of the economic program for 2004. The new revenue estimations made are compatible with information that was released after the initiative was sent to Congress and therefore do not imply a risk for public finances in 2004. The estimation of non-tax collection was increased by almost 11 billion pesos. The latter is due partially to an upward revision of income and value-added taxes collection for 2004. The revision responded to the fact that during September, October, and November of 2003, collection for these taxes was greater than it was anticipated at the time of the elaboration of the initiative. Revenues were added by 2.5 billion pesos from unproductive asset sales. These new estimations increase gross public sector revenues in 13.4 billion pesos with respect to the original program sent by the executive. Since this modification implies additional revenue sharing with states for 3.1 billion pesos, the net additional resources for the federal government are 10.3 billion pesos. The budget approved includes reassignments of the federal government's expenditures for an amount slightly higher than 38 billion pesos. These reassignments favored the following expenditures. Rural development in the first place for a little bit over 10 billion pesos. The state's support and strengthening program, which is known as PAFEF, for 7 billion pesos. Education for 8 billion pesos. Highway construction for 7.3 billion pesos. Social development programs for 2.2 billion pesos. Health for 1.5 billion pesos, water infrastructure for 1 billion pesos, and the National Science and Technology Council for less than half a billion pesos. The reassignments were financed with the 10.3 billion pesos of additional resources, as well as almost 30 billion pesos of government expenditures reductions. The budget includes automatic expenditure stabilization mechanisms, which are very similar to those used in the last couple of years. This mechanism assures that the fiscal deficit target approved by the Congress will be met, even if external shocks have an effect on fiscal revenues. The expenditure would be adjusted without affecting critical programs. Furthermore, the executive will continue increasing the transparency on the expenditure side. All the political agreements for fiscal reform were absent. The tax system for 2004 does include some changes with respect to the 2003 tax code. The federal fiscal code was substantially modified in order to simplify and clarify compliance with tax laws, as well as to increase the penalties for tax evasion, smuggling, and tax fraud. The maximum income tax rates for individuals and corporations will reduce 1 percentage point to 33%, according to what had been agreed in the year 2001. The substitute tax to the salary credit was eliminated. Magazines were exempted from value-added taxation. The value-added exemption for small taxpayers was eliminated. And they will now pay this tax according to an estimation of the value added for their activity. And finally, the excise tax on telecommunications was eliminated. It is also worth to highlight that late in December, Congress approved modifications to seven financial laws in order to combat money laundering and terrorism financing. Furthermore, in order to continue strengthening the financial sector's legal framework, the law to regulate the credit information societies, the credit bureaus, was modified by Congress. These modifications will make credit information societies more efficient and will ensure that they are not controlled by a single credit institution. Public debt. Let me move now to make some brief comments on the public debt strategy for next year, for this year. This policy will follow the guidelines included in our medium-term economic program, the PRONAFIDE. For 2004, the public debt strategy considers appropriate to accelerate the recomposition of public debt in favor of domestic debt. This in order to reduce even further the vulnerability of public finances to movements in the exchange rate and the impact that sudden falls in the availability of financial resources in the international capital markets may have on the Mexican economy. Accordingly, the public debt guidelines approved by Congress include, for the first time in recent economic history, a net decrease in external debt for $500 million. As I mentioned before, this implies that the federal government will continue to finance its budget deficit entirely through domestic sources for the fourth year in a row. Specifically, the economic program includes a net domestic indebtedness ceiling of 84.3 billion pesos for 2004. This total is approximately 15 billion pesos lower than the indebtedness ceiling approved by Congress for the 2003 fiscal year. And in this way, it's freeing additional financial resources for private sector activities. The implementation of this strategy will allow us to continue decreasing the share of the external debt in our total public sector debt. On this, I would like to highlight that the increasing capacity of the federal government to rely on domestic sources of financing is a direct result of the dynamic development process followed by our financial system. In particular, the financial reforms approved by Congress in recent years, including the one on pension reform for private sector workers that became effective in 1997, have had a positive impact in the rate of growth of financial savings. Today, financial savings, as measured by the broadest monetary aggregate M4, stand approximately at 50% of GDP compared to 42%, which was observed in the year 2000. On the domestic front, the strategy for government securities issues will be based on the following elements. First, strengthen the role of the six-month CETES as a market reference. Second, to increase gradually the placement of nominal fixed-rate instruments in older tenors with the purpose of consolidating the long end of the curve, and in particular, the role of the 20-year bond. Third, maintain an adequate supply of 10-year Uribonos without increasing the net indebtedness from this type of instruments. And fourth, to reduce the relative importance of the floating-rate notes in the portfolio of government securities. All these measures together will allow us to reduce the vulnerability of public finances to adverse movements in interest rates and to continue with the development of the long end segment of the yield curve in the domestic market. In terms of the external debt, our strategy will remain concentrated on improving the portfolio composition of public sector external debt and extending the investor base, promoting the participation of those investors that allocate predominantly their resources to investment-grade instruments. Finally, I would like to highlight that we have already refinanced most of our external liabilities during in the current year. In particular, with the successful placement of the five-year floating rate note that I mentioned before and which took place last Tuesday, and the transaction that was carried out during October 2003, which was at that time announced to be part of our pre-financing process for this year, we have refinanced already $2 billion out of our $2.5 billion market amortizations, which are scheduled for this year. Just to conclude, let me make a couple of remarks. First, to go back on the economic program for 2004, with the approval of this program, the executive and the legislative branch of government have restated their commitment to maintain fiscal discipline. The Mexican government believes that fiscal restraint will help to consolidate the inflationary abatement, avoid a raise in the cost of money, and increase the availability of financial resources to finance the private sector. In this manner, public finances will favor the economic reactivation and help to increase formal employment that is expected to take place during 2004. In the medium term, responsible fiscal policy must be maintained in order to promote a sustainable growth of the economy. fiscal responsibility will allow the economy to be resilient to sudden changes in the global economy. In the long term, the economy will need the structural reforms that have been recently discussed in order to increase the potential growth of the Mexican economy. With this, I will conclude my comments, and I will open the floor for questions, and Alejandro and Andres and myself are available to answer them. Thank you very much.
Thank you. The floor is now open for questions. If you do have a question, please press the numbers 1, followed by 4 on your touch-tone telephone at this time. If at any point your question is answered, you may remove yourself from the queue by pressing the pound key. Questions will be taken in the order that they are received. And we do ask that while posing your question, you please pick up your handset to ensure proper sound quality. Once again, to ask a question, please press the numbers 1, followed by 4 on your touch-tone telephone. Please hold the line while we pull for questions. The first question is coming from Luis Arcentales of Morgan Stanley. Please pose your question.
Good morning. This is actually Gray Newman here from Morgan Stanley. The question to Alonso or Alejandro Andres, for that matter. Looking back at the last 3 months of 2003, in particular, the work with Congress on trying to move forward on a number of the reform agenda fronts, what would you sort of say are sort of lessons learned from the experience of the end of 2003? And if you could just sort of touch again on in this year, in the upcoming session of Congress, what your expectations are of the kind of items that the executive branch is planning to focus on.
Thank you, Gray. Well, it was, as you know, a very complicated process characterized by a new ingredient with a lot of volatility even within the PRI, which was something that introduced an additional ingredient that complicated negotiations. No, I think nevertheless. For us, it is clear that fiscal reform is very important. No? We continue to evaluate the political arena to see what opportunities do we have to proceed with the structural reform. We continue working with Congress, and in fact, We again have some very positive results on this work on some other things than the fiscal reform, but as I mentioned, we had these financial laws which were approved by Congress, which worked intensely on them. I would say that going forward, If we consider out of these evaluations that we have an opportunity to push forward the fiscal reform again, that is something that we will be attempting. Mm-hmm.
I would add
that as we have said over and over again. Even if we are not successful on pushing this fiscal reform ahead, we will continue placing a very important emphasis on maintaining the fiscal stance that we have announced that would be like the basic building block for making progress on this economy.
And just to add on electricity or in the natural gas area, are there any signs that are either more or less positive or post last year?
Well, the discussions on those reforms were kind of reviews at the end of last year. I would say that the intention would be Well, the same as in the case of fiscal reform, to continue evaluating the possibilities we have on pushing forward these reforms. They continue to be on the top of the list of the agenda of the government.
Thank you.
The next question is coming from Paulo Vieira Bacuna of HSBC. Please pose your question.
Hi, good morning, and thank you, Andres, and all for this very clear exposition. My question, I have really two parts. The first one is on the fiscal side. In 2003, as you mentioned, there was an important fiscal stimulus from the windfall on oil to sustain aggregate demand. And in 2004, there will be a contraction in real expenditures. Have you given any estimates to the what the magnitude of this could be, and what are the implications? Could there be any implications for growth? And the second part of my question, following on the first question, is what are the expectations for the Convención Hacendaria that begins in February, and what will be the role of the Secretary of Finance in that convention?
Okay. I will ask Alejandro to answer the first part of the question, and I will take the second one.
Okay. We have quantified the impact of the adjustment in government expenditures in 2004 and its impact on growth, and that is already embedded in our projection of the GDP growth rate of 3.1% for next year. Actually, we are contemplating a reduction in real terms in government programmable expenditures of around 3% for next year, and obviously this is having a slight negative impact on growth that is going to be compensated by an increase in investment, an increase in external demand that would push growth towards 3.1%. That's our estimate for next year. I think the news that have come out, especially from the U.S. economy in the last two or three months, are favorable with respect to the impact of external demand on GDP growth. However, we have not yet seen with full force its impact on Mexican production and Mexican GDP growth, and that's why we are staying and we feel comfortable with the GDP growth estimation of 3.1% that we put forth with the economic program in the first week of November.
Thank you.
On the second part of your question on this Convención Nacional Hacendaria, I think that the main message I would like to send is that the idea is to work with the states and other levels of government in order to make progress on the three main areas of public finances, both income, expenditures, and debt, no? And not to work only on one of these issues that could turn in some additional vulnerabilities in the future. So we are committed to maintain those three elements in the discussions. No? The participation of the Ministry of Finance will of course be very intense. No, it is obviously a major discussion that will deal with the sustainability of the macroeconomic stability. No, so we can all anticipate to be deeply involved in the discussions.
Thank you very much.
The next question is coming from Eric Torres of J.P. Morgan. Please pose your question, sir.
Yes, hello, good morning. My question is in regard to the automatic stabilizers for revenues in case that they fall behind the expectations. In the bulletin you circulated, you mentioned that stabilizers mechanisms this time are similar to the ones used over the past few years. But are there any significant changes here? Is Congress allowed to have a major role now in determining the expenditure cuts if needed, and in this case, Would this represent a concern for the government?
I would say several things on that issue. First, that it was one of the items intensely discussed in Congress during the process of the budget approval. No? Also, that Congress is conscious of how important these automatic stabilizers are for the maintaining this macroeconomic stability. And the result of all these discussions was, in general terms, to maintain the stabilizers almost identical, I would say, to the ones that were that were authorized last year. No, first of all, I would say that reductions on expenditures, reduction on expenditures, if we were to see reductions on income, remain the same. We can proceed cutting expenditures, respecting some critical programs immediately if these are in the order of 5% of less. If we exceeded that percentage level, then we would inform Congress and we would wait a small period for them to confirm that, or not confirm, for them to evaluate, and we would proceed with the cuts if we do not receive an answer within a very short period. So on that part of the equation, we continue to have the possibility of reacting almost immediately to any shortfall on the income side. On how to distribute excess income, again, the result was that the articles in the presupuesto remain almost identical, with the next composition. If first of all, it includes all excess, all extra incomes, not only the one coming from oil. So if we were to have, let's say, extra income coming from oil and less income coming from other sources, they will be compensating each other. That's very important, and it is exactly the same way it was last year. And then from that excess income, the excess income would be divided on two parts. One of those parts would be assigned to the states and municipalities for them to develop infrastructure projects, and the other half would be again divided in two parts. One part would be allocated to the oil stabilization fund, and the other part to improve the fiscal balance. No? That, in very general terms, is what is in the presupuesto for this year.
Thank you.
Once again, to ask a question, please press the numbers 1 followed by 4 on your touchtone telephone at this time. We do have a question coming from Rafael De La Fuente of BNP Paribas. Please pose your question.
Yes, good morning. I wanted to see whether you could give us some clarification as to the situation with concerning FOBAPROA bonds that may be coming due this year. Is this as much a problem this year as it may be in 2005? And what can we expect going forward in terms of negotiations to resolve that problem?
So, we have been discussing those issues with the different actors and following the initiative which was launched by Congress, pointing us to work on resolving that issue. The conversations we have been having with those different actors is on how to proceed with the exchange of these pagarés with all the different legal processes that we have in the middle. What we have been discussing is the possibility of dividing the pagares into two different parts, no? And proceeding with the exchange of the pagares, which are free of any observations coming from the audit, and to leave another part for the result of the judiciary processes. I would like to remind you that despite all the noise that has been around all these pagares, the amount that was observed by the audit, by the audit of the Federation, has been reduced substantially. No? And now the amount that remains to be solved or to be explained is only of 6.5 billion pesos in total. No? The rest of the observations have already been taken care of. No? So this is a very small amount compared to the total universe of the program which was being evaluated. So I am confident that the problem will be solved in the next few months.
Thank you very much.
Once again, if you do have a question at this time, please press the numbers 1 followed by 4 on your touchtone telephone. Gentlemen, there appear to be no further questions at this time. Do you have any closing comments?
No, well, I would just like to thank everybody for attending this conference call, and that would be all. Thank you.
Thank you for your participation. That does conclude this morning's teleconference. You may disconnect your lines at this time, and have a great day.